Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode 75 of the Alexi Sale podcast. Somebody pointed out on YouTube that I said 65 in Spanish rather than 75. Yeah, it's because I
64.
Yeah. Say center rather than said whatever I said anyway. But it's because I was me and Nigel's Celebrity Antiques Road Trip went out last night.
Fuck, I forgot to watch it.
Oh well, you can watch it.
I was busy watching Keen Fucking Eddie. Shit! Why didn't I watch Antiques Road Trip?
Well, it's on catch up, obviously. But I lie there saying I tell Tash, my antiques expert, I'm fluent in Spanish.
Oh, do you? But why did that come up?
I was saying that I can't haggle unless I pretend to be French.
French, okay.
Yeah, so I go, well, how much do you want? You know, I can't do it in English, but I say, how much do you want for this? I cannot possibly pay that for this. She said, do you speak French? I said, no, but I speak Spanish. And then they went, oh, you liar.
You're not just lying to her. You're lying to the whole viewing public.
Yeah, I'm lying to everybody who's watching Celebrity Antiques Road Trip. I'm lying to people who believe in me. That's perhaps an object lesson. Don't believe in anybody. Well, believe in me more than anybody else, but don't believe in me either, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's all a lie. Don't follow leaders. Watch your parking meters. Girl by the well, who's looking for a new fool? Don't follow leaders, watch your backing meters, etc.
Did you see that film?
No, I haven't seen it yet. Timothy Shyamalan.
Shyamalan.
Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to seeing it, actually. I watched the documentary. I've seen it before, actually, on BBC Two. It was an arena about Bob Dylan. I think it's two-part, quite lengthy. They had Allen Ginsberg was one of the people. Was one of my favorite poets.
Mm.
One of my favorite poems of all time is Howl, his poem. But it was he's such an attractive character. I think they also have footage, of course, of the Manchester Free Trade gig where people, you know, where he went electric and people shouted out Judas.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of a joke where I was like going down and, you know, watched Jesus being crucified and shouted out Bob Dylan at him. I don't know whether that's too abstruse a joke, really. But
it's not bad. Maybe if it was like an electric crucifix.
Yeah, it just starts getting complicated, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But I've seen it a couple of times. I think a really interesting documentary.
Do you know who made it?
But it was Arena, so it was
the team.
The Arena team.
There must have been someone at the helm.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I'm going to check that out.
Yeah, no, it's a really, I really enjoyed it. Mm. But yes, I'm looking forward to seeing the movie.
Parts unknown. No, that's...
I can never remember. I have to say the... complete unknown.
A complete unknown.
Like a Rolling Stone.
Like Dylan when I'm stoned. Bob Dylan, Doc.
Okay. Yeah.
Parts unknown. That was Chef Boyardee. No. Who's that chef who sadly killed himself?
Anthony Bourdain.
Bourdain, not Chef Boyardee. Mm-hmm. Amazing series. Have you seen that?
No.
Anthony Bourdain, Parts Unknown. He just goes to really obscure parts of the world.
Right.
Like countries we know, but like parts of those countries that are a bit more obscure. And he even has two episodes in LA, but he visits scenes in LA that are very niche.
Right.
Like Little Korea.
Right.
You know, and he just dives deep into the food culture of that place.
Sounds interesting.
And then he also does an episode in Israel, Palestine. And people criticized him for being nice, you know, for being a human being and going, this is fucked up. Let's go talk to some Palestinians. And you're like, you know.
I'm sorry. Anyway, yes. So anybody who can should watch, who didn't watch it last night, should watch
Celebrity
Antiques Road Trip with me and Nigel Plain. Now, I thought we might, you know, kind of get a kind of Paul Whitehouse and Bob Mortimer vibe going, you know, because it's obviously a way for old people to make money on TV. Yeah. But I don't think, I'm not sure that there's, I mean, I'm obviously Nigel's a very good friend of mine, but I don't know whether there's any magic between us on screen, really.
Or did the editing do you harm? Do you think they did justice to you guys?
They captured our interaction quite well, really. I mean, most of the time we're not together, but I don't know whether there's that, you know, there's a difference between being friends and in making TV or radio or podcast magic.
Hmm.
So I don't know really. Anyway, that and Sandwich Bar, obviously you can download it. Episode 2 went out. It's gone out this week, and people are getting very excited about it. It seems to be getting more attention. I recommend anybody to watch that. Listen to it on BBC Sounds. I feel vindicated with my choices.
As you should. It's brilliant. It's brilliant.
Yes, it is, really. I agree.
Yeah. And so much outreach. All the messages I've been getting. Tell Alexi we love Sandwich Bar.
Yeah. Well, it is, you know, I put a lot in, but, you know, hopefully the listener gets a lot out.
Yeah, you can tell. Your heart and soul's in that thing, man.
It is.
But, yeah, Sufyan, Layla, all the Patreon people, all just over the moon to have it on the Beeb. My friend Kit is just in shock that the BBC allows it to go out. Like, yes. He said to me yesterday, actually, he said it was really surreal for him to hear such harsh criticism of Keir Starmer being said on the BBC or anywhere mainstream for that matter. He says, you know, you do hear like, oh yeah, he's a bit shit, but to just be so harsh and truthful and out and upfront about what the actual problem with Keir Starmer is.
Yes.
And I was like, yeah, well, maybe why haven't the BBC censored you yet? But maybe you are their balance, you know, because they have to be just. They need to justify
that.
Their...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know which episodes have gone out in which order. Actually, I don't know whether the Israelish one, has gone out yet. Well, it's obviously on Sounds. Let's see if there's any pushback. Yeah, I mean, I have no complaints about Radio 4. The Mohit, the commissioner, has been.
No, of course.
Yeah. Fantastically supportive and rich at BBC Studios. I mean, everybody's been great, really. And I wonder whether, we'll see, I mean, I wonder whether, you know, when they try to get my, Desert Island Disband in 2021, whether they were surprised by the level of support for me, really, and they've, you know, decided to back off the Israel lobby, or they may, you know, they're biding their time. I don't know. But it's, in a sense, there should be more stuff like that. It's, you know, I mean, I like it, obviously, that I'm the only one doing it, being that frank and that honest. But it would be nice if some other people were doing it as well, you know.
100%.
Yeah.
Let's see. But also, there's going to be huge backlash from the Josh Widdicombe camp. I think his team of lawyers and supporters have already started penning a letter, an open letter to the BBC to have your show axed.
Yeah. Well, it makes it clear, I think, which is that it's just me being horrible. There's no rhyme nor reason to it, really.
So funny about it. Yeah. You have no reason to hate it. He's perfectly lovely guy.
Yeah, yeah.
There was that other twat who used to be the subject of your ire, and it was much more... I suppose you've rinsed it out, but what the fuck is his name? The posh guy, Whitehall.
Jack Whitehall. I didn't want to do that again. Really,
you've done that, haven't you?
Yeah.
Guys, we've also got live shows booked in, man. Live Alexis Sale podcast.
Yeah.
We're doing the Alexis Sale podcast live 3 nights at the Museum of Comedy in Central London on the 24th of April, 30th of April, 11th of May. We've got some other shows in the pipeline, nothing confirmed, but we want to hit up Liverpool for a couple of shows and Shoreham-on-Sea, funnily enough. I think I'm quite excited to do that one down in Brighton. I used to live down in Brighton as well.
So. Did you?
But for now, confirmed, 3 nights at the Museum of Comedy. Go to museumofcomedy.com.
Yeah, come on, people. Yeah, see us live. We'll have to... Because it's a live podcast, we'll have to, you know, have to say different things every night as well.
So. Yeah, that's kind of the idea. Yeah,
yeah.
And I think there'll be, you know, hopefully a lot of audience interaction. We want people to come with interesting and fun questions for you, and doesn't always have to be about your career. It can be about anything, literally anything.
Yeah.
It can help you with your problems. I think we can do a kind of an agony aunt style thing. You have personal problems.
Linda's
very
good about getting out stains.
There you go. And Linda will be there, hopefully,
yeah,
in the background, shouting out answers. I've got little gifts to give to people who ask questions in the audience.
Oh, well, hell,
exclusive gifts.
You know, you couldn't. You couldn't,
yeah, I know, man.
You know,
I know.
There's no. This is the
catch your breath.
This is
the, take a second. Catch your breath.
It's this is the live event of the year, isn't it? Really.
And the museum kindly are going to record it all for us. I'm going to try and get it on video because, as you know by now, dear readers, all our episodes now go up as videos on our Patreon, patreon.com/AlexisSale podcast.
Yeah,
and I'm going to try and get those live shows video too.
All right. I don't know. They were asking if I need it. I don't know if this is of any interest to the listener. Do we need a tech? I don't think we need a tech, do we? Or do we need a tech?
We don't.
Cost money.
They're great. They've got their own. Well, I trust the staff there, isn't it?
Yeah, but we don't have to. I mean, if we have a tech, we have to pay for them, I think. I don't know.
No, I'm the tech. We don't
need. You're the tech, yeah.
Absolutely. What the fuck do we need? We don't have a projector. This is if we had a projector or something.
Yeah.
Lighting cues. It's a podcast. We're going to ask everyone in the audience to close their eyes at the beginning of the show.
Yeah. But it's a very exciting, I hope. I think we're going to do it in the, rather than the bar, we're going to do it in the theater, you know, the theater space. People get down there, see us in person, find out I really do exist. I'm not a figment of your imagination.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the Baba Yaga, the boogeyman.
Baba Yaga.
Baba Yaga, is it? Is that from John Wick?
Mm.
Yeah. Alfie Allen's playing a Russian.
Yes.
I'm fond of Alfie, but not one of his finest performances.
No, he was all right.
Yeah, he was fine. I'm not being horrible about Alfie.
He's very good about being pathetic and... kind of whingy
he did do that very well. Yeah, what's John Wick? The Baba Yaga, the boogeyman.
He's in SAS Rogue Heroes, which was penned by Ben McIntyre, who did the Siege book that my dad is a character in.
Yes,
it's all connected, everybody.
Yeah, everything. Podcast.
Hey, mentioning the Patreon, remember. We've got 330 paid members of the Patreon.
That's currently a lot, isn't it? And this, when you could be giving your money to any cunt on the internet.
Yeah.
I value your contribution, really, because it's not like...
It's very touching.
You know, it is, yeah. Yeah, I love you people.
I
love you crazy nerds.
Yeah, thank you so much. It means much.
That's from Pitch Perfect, by the way.
Oh.
I love you awesome nerds. It's from Pitch Perfect 1, I think. Anyway, sorry, go on.
I just want to give much love to you all. The lovely chat room in the Patreon's been popping off, and I thought I'd throw some things at you, Alexis.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's go for it.
First off, Mark, who you said should write for The Guardian as a film writer, he's It's made his day hearing that. Nice. He writes for a website called The Geek Show.
All right.
And he appears on their Pop Screen podcast. They have a podcast called Pop Screen. Mark is a really good film writer. The closest he's ever got to writing film reviews for print media was when the Morning Star asked him to be their film critic, which sounded like a dream job. But when they told him they couldn't pay him, he told them to fuck off.
Yes. You probably get into screen. I mean, not that that's... it used to be at least you got into screenings, really. You know, you'd see films in advance.
Yeah.
If you're a fan.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You'd get a press advantages of being...
Yeah, I don't know whether that still happens, but... they should pay, shouldn't they, really? Everything should pay. You know, it's not right.
Nemo said... Yeah. It's true, Quick Change wasn't that good, but it did have some good things in it. Reminded them of Scorsese's After Hours because it's New York.
Yes, well, that is a time lock film, yeah.
It says, keep them coming. They don't have to always be good. They don't have to stand the test of time. That's part of the whole process. Dr. Nick, brilliant sandwich bar series, so well crafted.
Love
the mention of... one of his bugbears, celebrities writing shit kids' books. Even even Badil got in on that.
Yes. They're all shit. They're all the same as well.
He wants to start the Walliams Awards for shit children's authors. What do you think of that?
Yeah.
I didn't know Badil did it. What's
Badil, Walliams, yeah. They all fucking do it. It's all terrible. I think there was somebody, I don't know, yeah.
All right, and then Mark came at me with this, which I went and watched. Stumbled across a 1996 animated public information film called Moonlighters, which Alexi does the narration for.
That's right.
It's about the perils of kids playing with lighters. Do you remember it, Alexi?
I do vaguely. I don't know why, but yeah.
All right, bring a little quiz for you to see how much you remember.
I don't.
Moonlight is 1996. On which celestial body is the film located?
Oh, I thought it was set on Earth. I don't know. I've completely forgotten it then.
No, it was set on the moon.
Is it set on the moon? All right.
Yeah. What are the names of the two protagonists?
Oh, fuck if I know.
They're called Biblock and Hoblock. They're aliens.
Okay. Probably written by a young Jesse Armstrong or something. You went on to do Succession.
It's actually quite good animation. Yeah. Clever ideas in there. What dangerous item did they find on the surface of the moon, Alexi?
Fire lighter.
A lighter, yes.
Yeah.
1 point.
I thought it was about fireworks. Oh, okay.
Which of the two characters, Biblock and Hoblock, went out at night and grabbed the lighter and accidentally burnt the moon city down?
Well, it's 50-50, isn't it? So I'm going to say Hoblock.
Correct, it's Hoblock. Well done, man. And then finally, what was the warning Hoblock gave his little sister every day thereafter?
Don't follow leaders, which are back immediately.
No, he told her never play with lighters.
Never play with lighters.
Very nice. 3.5 minutes long.
Yeah. That's that Bobby Chariot line, isn't it? I got a box of matches the other day. It said on it, keep away from children. I thought, how do they know about that? That was written by Graham Lynn and Arthur Matthews, in case you blame me for it.
Very good line.
Yeah, it's a very good line.
There's a link to the video in the Patreon chat. Thanks, Mark, for sharing that. It's a really cool little video. And it reminded me of the one when I was a kid, there's always, every generation has their don't play with fire film, right? Mine, I wonder if anyone can find this one. Mine was about a firefly whose bum didn't glow like all his mates.
Right.
And he was sad because his bum didn't turn on. And so he used a match and ended up burning down the whole forest and then got punished for it, similar to Hoblock.
Yeah.
He burned down the whole city. Such dramatic outcomes. What was yours when you were a kid?
I don't know. There was a lot of stuff about which featured Jimmy Savile, which was a warning on many different levels.
keep away from children.
Yeah. And there was the Green Cross Code with what became Darth Vader, of course, the guy who played Darth Vader.
That was the Welsh dude.
Was he Welsh?
Yeah.
There was him. That was Don't Cross the Road, yeah. But
he was a bodybuilder, wasn't he?
That's right, Dave Prowse.
Dave Prowse,
yeah. But yeah, I think because I did so many voiceovers around about that time. I don't know whether I did that for free or for, you know, it was a sort of community service. I mean, I wasn't doing community service. You know, I think I probably did it cheap or something. But I do remember doing it, which is not true of a lot, you know, a certain amount of stuff I've done.
Well, you can watch it on tvarc.org.
Yeah, right.
Called Moonlighters. It's quality. It's really good. It's very pure nostalgia injection as well. Fucking cool.
It's probably done by like Aardman or somebody, wasn't it? It's probably done by some future Oscar winners.
Yeah. Some cool creative ideas.
Yeah.
Or
some guy who's now very, very bitter. Because his animation, that was the peak of his animation career. One or the other.
Paul says, Sandwich Bar is this week's Radio 4 Comedy of the Week podcast.
Yes. That's good. Yeah. Well, so it fucking should be.
Yeah, that's about it from the Patreon chat. Thanks so much, guys. And yeah, as I said, when we hit 500 patrons, maybe 450, we might let you off, but we're going to do a live streamed episode where we're going to let you, the listeners at home, join it. We're going to do strangers on a podcast, basically.
All right.
What do you think of that? Yeah, they're going to have them join the stream, their faces if they want, or they can turn their cameras off and they can talk to you and you can have a chat with random members of the public.
Excellent.
Which you've gotten good at.
Yeah, better. That's a good idea. And so you want, let's take a darker turn now. You wanted to talk about Syria.
I've been doing a lot of chatting. Is there anything, a topic you wanted to bring up?
Well, I don't know.
Well, if I may, I just wanted to have a short word on Syria, a topic which hasn't come up in a few weeks. Here on the podcast.
Yes. Where's your family from?
My mum's family are from Damascus. My dad's family is from Latakia on the coast.
But they're not Alawite.
They're not Alawite. But that's where, a lot of the recent violence has been reported. So in case anyone was wondering, because, you know, there's been a couple of silly comments on our YouTube, which make me feel like I should mention it. That's all. So sorry for bringing it up. But some people going, what do you think of your precious leader now and all that kind of thing?
Yeah.
I never made a firm stance either way. Obviously, it's really difficult to watch and it's heartbreaking seeing violence erupting again in Syria when everything was so hopeful. I do, however, just need to, I think it's important that we take the reporting we're seeing with a pinch of salt, with a critical eye, because there are a lot of people out there who don't want what's happening, don't want Syria to work. They want chaos. They want there to be violence. And so I've tried really hard to read up on what's actually been happening, because I think there has been a lot of propaganda about what's happened. And I think what the conversations I've been having is like, it's not logical for this current leadership to incite violence and sectarianism on this level, because their main agenda right now is to get the fucking sanctions dropped on Syria. So where's the logic there? Why would they fucking do this?
There's somebody. I mean, somebody shot somebody, didn't they? I mean, I don't know what. I mean, in Latakia, from going by the video.
Well, there were also, yeah, and there were violence was incited. I think you there is evidence pointing at it. Not it's been started by the as people pro Assad or people mm-hmm. who are trying to incite chaos in the region.
Mm-hmm.
And Iranian and Israeli influences and Russian attacking the fucking government forces. And that.
Yeah.
And I think there have been individuals who've taken shit into their own hands and gone out and done revenge killings and really awful stuff. There have been a lot of arrests made. The government has opened a investigation. I think it's well into its...
mm-hmm.
It's been like a week now. They've investigated these events. There has been proven a lot of the footage we've seen is like from separate things from years ago, from different. Right. Some of it is there's been some AI generated imagery that has been thrown out there. So there are forces out there trying to make it look worse than it is.
Right.
There has obviously been awful happenings.
Yeah, you cannot. I mean, yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, interestingly. The Kurdish forces in Rojava, which this podcast is twinned with, have agreed to
exactly.
merge their forces into the
yes
Syrian. I mean, that's
there's been so much action. Thank you, Alexei. There's been so much action since that the government has done that counters what we're seeing, making pacts, shaking hands, doing contracts with. Sects with Christians, with Druze, with the Kurdish people, as you said, making constitutional equality and security for these people. All Syrians are Syrians. Like there is no the minorities there are in their millions. It's not like there's just tiny little sections of them. It's the minorities there are huge swathes of the public.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see the fucking logic as to why the government would be doing this. I think there is something fishy going on, man. But there are also there clearly has been something horrible happened that these government forces. Maybe acting independently have done stuff or maybe being instructed by their government. I can't say for sure. This is why I'm struggling so hard to talk about it. But,
you've talked to people on the ground there or you just read stuff?
I've been talking to family. I've been talking online with people who are reporting on this.
Where else would you get this on a podcast? You get fucking better reporting than fucking Sky.
There's a reporter called Dania Al-Assadi, who's been trying to call out fake information. So this is not me saying that these government forces' hands are clean. I'm sure there's been horrible acts.
Well, people
occurring.
Are traumatized by, you know, I mean, I, you know, yeah.
But and some of the videos I've seen are so horrible and hard to watch. But they're not, what do you call it, certified? They're not...
I don't know how you can, but I mean, yeah.
So I'll just read out a couple of bits. So this is, or should I? Or should we just call it there? I don't know.
I don't know.
So one argument. Some people are reporting that it's Iran-backed militias and Assad loyalists trying to regain control, trying to incite chaos. But the new government recently... have been pushing for justice and accountability for the horrible crimes that have been happening in Syria over the past decades. And this has triggered Assad loyalists to fight back and do and to incite sectarian violence.
Okay.
And external forces are meddling to reshape Syria's future.
Oh, that's certainly true.
So there's a lot of people who don't want Syria to succeed. Yeah. Who don't want this revolution to succeed. Propaganda is flooding social media, twisting the facts. False claims about the clashes are being spread to undermine the new leadership. I'm reading from Dania Al-Assadi's Instagram account, by the way.
Right.
Who benefits? Those who want chaos, not change. Why accountability is critical. Syrians are demanding justice. The government must prove it is serious about dismantling the old regime's power. Without real consequences, history will repeat itself. So the fight isn't just on the battlefield, it's for the narrative, the future, and Syria's sovereignty. And yeah, they have acted fast. After these reports, they have gone out and sought accords with the SDF. Right.
And they were good, clever fuckers, the SDF. I can't see that they would go into an alliance with the Syrian government if it wasn't, you know, on the up and up, really, because they're very reluctant to give away their military power.
It was really a drop of fresh air and hope to see that happening.
Yeah.
And a big kind of fuck you to Turkey, who hates Kurdish people and they do horrible things. All Syrians are equal Syrians and should be. And anything wrong that is done to any sect or minority in Syria, I do not approve of. And I do not approve any of these mindless and horrible killings and murders. If they were true, it's horrible, no matter who it's happening to. And yeah, to think, and just the idea that some people, there are people out there who hate all the Alawites because Assad is Alawite and they think any Alawite is a bad, that's bullshit.
Mm. All right.
Yeah. And the new Syrians are very pro-Palestine as well.
Yeah, like, yeah.
People how much Assad hated and did so much against Palestine. And Palestinian refugees in Syria and that.
Yes, but, yeah. I mean,
a lot of the footage
was
out there is fake, man, or like from other events.
Yeah, it was a terrible regime, but they did kind of allow the funneling of arms to Hezbollah. Whether you think that's a good thing or not, really, they did.
Well, fuck Hezbollah as well. They didn't like Palestine either.
Really?
Yeah. They used to fucking murder Palestinian refugees. They hated the refugees in Lebanon, Palestinians. Hezbollah aren't nice. They're fucking cunts as well.
Oh, you're going to get... we're going to get some earache.
No, fuck Hezbollah. Like, I don't think we should make them out to be saints or freedom fighters in the way that we think they are. The Middle East is complicated, man, and they're
You hear that Yvette Cooper say, we're saying fuck Hezbollah, don't arrest us.
Anyone who murders innocents, threatens, cuts off food and water to people are evil cunts, man. And that includes Hezbollah. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, we'll get some earache for this.
Don't give a shit. I'm the Arab. I'm the Arab here.
It's not your podcast.
Okay, sorry. Well, that's me speaking, not Alexi, but I don't give a fuck. I'm the Arab here, so come at me.
Yeah. You have a... not just Arab, but Syrian. You have the moral high ground.
Hezbollah worked with
Assad. Well, it's complicated, isn't it? I mean, I don't think, you know, that's...
Hezbollah worked with Assad. They helped put Syrian cities under siege. They put Palestinian refugee camps under siege. Hezbollah are no friends of Palestine. They're just also enemies of Israel.
Yes.
And they're evil, extremist, religious fucking maniacs. Anywho.
Oh, no, we're going to get...
No, we're not going to get anything.
Maniacs are going to come after us now.
Oh, right. Grow up, baby.
Oh, I don't want to be targeted by anybody. I don't want to. I will just trouble with the Zionists, and now you're getting me. What we talk about now?
Whatever you want. I've done enough talking. People hate me already. I don't want to talk anymore.
There is one guy on the YouTube comments who does dislike you, isn't he?
Yep.
But he likes me.
Yeah. What do you think of that?
Yeah.
What do you have to say to him, Alexi?
No, I don't know. It's a complicated world.
What? You're not going to defend my honor.
No. No, I will. No.
No, after what I just did.
Years ago, we went for dinner with Billy Connolly in my Hollywood years in the Dome on Sunset Boulevard. And he spent a lot of time slagging off Muriel Gray, you know, because she'd, partly because she's Scottish, but also because she'd, it's probably before your time, but she'd been rude to Mick Jagger on the tube, Julian Temple. So he was, and afterwards I told Miriam, Muriel when I got back, and she said, "So you defended me?" I said, "Fuck no."
Right.
I'm like, ooh, I'm
so there's a pattern there.
Yeah.
God, listeners, you might be witnessing the dismantling of the Alexis L podcast.
Yeah, feet of clay. Why would you bother arguing, Billy Connolly? He paid for dinner. So what else should we talk about?
I watched Keen Eddie last night. It's on YouTube.
Is it?
Yeah.
What did you think?
It gave me a headache.
Yes, it's awful. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
I mean, the first two episodes, when I'm in it, are better than the episodes when I'm not in it.
There are qualities in there, but it's just so stylized. And it's overly stylized.
Right.
Like, so many jump cuts, edits, flashbacks, sound effects, incessant music, weird close-ups, and like...
I don't know if I ever watched it, to be honest.
It's very star, and it's like very 90s, like attempting to be overly stylized. I don't know what it was about the 90s that made, you know that weird advert that's like, you wouldn't steal a car, do 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 do, you wouldn't steal someone's handbag, do 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 do, and it just keeps editing, jumping around. Yeah. And then at the end it goes, well, why would you steal a film? Why would you pirate a film? Piracy is wrong, yeah?
Yeah.
It was like a 45-minute version of that.
Okay.
But you were funny in it. You were very good.
Yeah. You couldn't see why they dropped me after show two. Is it really?
I haven't got to episode two. Well, although, yeah, you betray him in the end. No, actually, you have a really, really sweet arc. Turns out your wife's like dead and you wanted to bury her in Spain and they thought you were trying to run away to Spain. And
really? I don't remember that.
You have a very sweet moment at the end, spoilers, but I don't know how you end up in episode two, because at the end of episode one, you fuck off to Spain.
No, really? I don't know. Well, I was so important that they brought me back for episode two and then they dropped me. it was a whole weird... I remember Simon West, he's kind of flash guy. He was... planning to open a racing track and kind of hotel resort in the south of France. Is that screaming coming from me or from you?
From you.
All right. It's a child in the street. I said, oh, yeah, I'd be interested in that, Simon. I could kick in like 10 grand. And he said, I was thinking more of a million. I said, well, not really, yeah. Well, we can keep this Keen Eddie. No reason why we need to leave Keen Eddie there. We can return to it in various weeks. There's a weird MacGuffin. You know what MacGuffin is?
Yeah.
It's the thing that, you know, that it's like, you know, the fucking rings in Lord of the Rings or...
Yeah, like a physical plot device.
It's the thing that people are looking for, yeah. There's a very weird MacGuffin in episode two. I'll just say that.
Okay, we'll leave that there. I can't believe he went on to do Con Air the following year.
No, he'd already done Con Air.
Oh, he must have already filmed it, yeah.
Yeah, he'd already done Con Air. I'd seen it, I think, by the time I... It's one of the reasons I did it, really.
His style, if Con Air, there's a lot of Keen Eddie and Con Air, like his style of shooting and editing.
Keen Eddie, it's
if you believe it or not, it's turned up to 11, like half. It's like Con Air on crack.
Yeah,
it's wild.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, we can return to that. People can watch it on YouTube, apparently.
Yep.
What else is there then to talk about in the world?
Some people got really angry at my analysis of why film stars are sexier now. That I said last.
Really? God, you're freaking... People are angry with me. Really?
But it was kind of fun. This was a bit more fun, you know, criticism. It was like,
right.
We had back and forths. But yeah, I spoke with a lot of authority.
Because they're all buff now, you think, because it's a technical thing, because lenses are more...
Partly, yeah. I think censorship got more lax and cameras got better and screens got better.
Yeah.
And I said that I think people were hung up on the fact that I said film actors used to be ugly, and I used Humphrey Bogart as an example. I know that they were handsome film actors. I'm not.
Yeah.
I know that Marilyn Monroe and Clark Gable and all that, but I don't think they were built like Chris Hemsworth.
No.
But I know that they used to be ugly actors.
I mean, now you have to spend all the time in the fucking gym, don't you, if you want to be an act, you know, movie star, really.
Yes. I think body standards and beauty standards have changed so much.
But if you, in the back in the day, you could just be drunk all the time, couldn't you?
They were drunk all the time and smoking all the time.
Yeah.
And eating shit and doing coke in between takes.
Yeah.
and their lifespans were like half of our lifespans, life expectancy.
Yes, I remember going around the Hollywood Cemetery is actually behind Paramount Studios, the old timey studios, which is actually in Hollywood.
Mm.
And the you can see the water tower, the famous Paramount water tower from Hollywood.
Oh.
I was just shocked by how young everybody is. In there, all the movie stars are terribly young. Most of them, a lot of them. I always used to contrast that with the painters. Like, if you went to Père Lachaise, where all the great painters are buried in Paris, that they all lived really long time. And I said that was, I thought, theorized that was partly because they're working. It's a kind of physically demanding but kind of energetic thing to be a painter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would sit down, have a sandwich at lunch, and listen to Radio 4. And, you know, it's convivial, and you're part of a kind of, you know. And whereas these poor movie stars just seem to live these terrible lives and die very young, really.
Yeah. They have an expectation to live these debauched lifestyles.
Well, so do artists, but they seem to. A lot of them, anyway, to live longer.
It's fucking hailing. Today is really weird. It was snowing earlier.
Yes. Got caught in it. Yeah.
There's a big crack of lightning right outside. It was like the closest I've ever seen a bolt of lightning. Outside my flat, and then rain, and now it's hailing like a motherfucker.
That's the hail. We had that about an hour ago. Travelled over to you now. I can't believe people are going to want to listen to this, just talking about the weather.
No.
It's a new low, isn't it, really?
What's next?
well, we've done all my... It's a blitz, isn't it? It's Alexis Hale Blitz, isn't it? Celebrity Antiques Road Trip, and then Sandwich Bar. Fill your boots, because I haven't got anything in the pipeline. There may be a project next year. I better not talk about it yet, but we're working on something.
Ooh. And your book. You got your book.
There's a book, yeah, that'll be out. Yeah. There's that. So we could come to, we could movie choices we could do, or things we've watched on the telly. Oh, I haven't really. I'm quite enjoying Call Millie Black.
C'est quoi?
It's a sort of detective thing set in Jamaica. Some idiots are comparing with Death in Paradise, which is really stupid. Just because they're both set in the Caribbean. It's okay. I mean, it suffers from flaws of all detective stuff, really. But, it's interesting. Based on a Marlon James Booker Prize winning author, Marlon James short story. So yeah, that's quite interesting.
So who's in it?
Else on,
eh? Where's it airing? It's called Millie Black.
Channel 4. Call Millie Black, it's called.
Okay. I'll give that a look. I'll tell you what, I've got an email here from Fliss. Hi, Lexi and Talal. I'm really excited to have the immense sandwich bar back. Our household has been looking forward to its return. They're eking it out weekly rather than binging. It must be savoured. Genuinely a much-needed voice in this wilderness.
Yeah.
I thought I'd email with some possible new themes / guest ideas. Not that you're short on brilliant content, which I thought is an apt
time. Oh, she's got a shove coming her way after this one.
I feel it would be great and valuable to see disabled socialist voices in the mix.
Yeah, sure. But does she have any in mind?
I interviewed Penny Pepper a few years back. She's written memoirs about her 80s youth and socialist and disabled activism. She's got a great wit and also is a punk poet.
Okay.
I think you'd have a lot to talk about.
Sure.
The burning issue could be discussed with DPAC, Disabled People Against Cuts campaigners.
Well, fucking hell, what's going on with the Labour Party? It's like they're a covert right-wing collection of neo-Nazis, wink. You know, blimey, they're really revealing their true colours, aren't they, with their attacks on the welfare state?
Yeah, what was the big cut that was...
They're going to cut personally. They're going to just bankrupt. There's a report, I think, anyway, that said our welfare system is the worst after Slovenia, or just before Slovenia. I'm not quite sure which. But I know pensions, for instance, in Spain are much more generous than here. But even so, it's supposed to be a tremendous burden on the, you know, so that all welfare payments need to be stopped so we can spend the money on weapons.
Right, yeah. And did you see Keir Starmer's announcement today?
What's he doing today?
About the NHS.
Oh, about the NHS, yes.
They're going to axe NHS England.
Yeah.
And on the surface, it does look like a decent idea to put the management of the NHS back into the hands of government workers and stuff. But... considering Wes Streeting is our health secretary and it's Keir Starmer, the biggest sellout
we've
ever seen in 10 Downing Street, there's obviously a big fish somewhere, right? What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. Don't be fooled. They're up to something, people. I don't know what it is yet, but you'll hear it first. News from Syria. Entertainment news. And I on the Labour Party. Oh, you thought of something?
No, finish your thought. Yeah.
I on the Labour Party. I on the Labour Party segment. They're a bunch of bastards.
Mate, we've had correspondence about your family history, your lineage.
Oh, shit. In hell, fucking hell.
Why did we wait until minute 50 to bring this up?
Yeah, shit. Oh, that was fascinating. You must thank that guy for doing that. Yeah. God, what's wrong with us? Honestly. it proves that my mother was telling the truth, really, that we were from where she said we were from and that they lived in Crown Street and
the one I sent you was the latest thing I received, but it started with, I think this was the first one. No, this was the first one. Philip reached out, got there first. So big up Phillips for being first past the post. Hi there. I got a bit carried away after the podcast and by stitching together various records from Find My Past, it looks like Molly Malka Mendelssohn is machinist flag maker in 1939.
I think she tried to organize a strike. She made flags. She tried to organize a strike to sabotage the war effort, but Yes, that's what she did.
All good on her, Molly. Had she had maternal grandparents, David and Sarah Tropp.
Yeah.
Who were both listed in the 1911 census as born in Grodus Gol, Russia, in the 1850s. No idea where that maps to today. David was a traveling coal dealer, and they were living at 170 Crown Street, Liverpool. Molly's father's family seems to have dodged paperwork as much as possible. No idea what the story is there. So that was Philip.
So that was my mother's father's parents were from Grod or whatever it was.
Yes.
Belarus.
Grodus Gol, Russia. You think that's Belarus now?
I think I read somewhere it's in Belarus now. But...
And then we had Chris reach in. Hello, chaps. This is Chris. Had a little look. I don't know why I'm giving you a voice. Had a little look at Alexei's family tree. I haven't spent too much time because I'm sure others will have also done so. You're right, Chris. Grandfather, Vilnius.
Which is in Lithuania, right?
Russian Empire. Oh, okay, yeah, okay, I should read it properly. Grandfather, born 28th of June, 1878, in Vilnius, Russian Empire. And you're saying that's Lithuania now?
But it's one of them both.
Died in 15th December, 1950, in Liverpool.
That's before I was born, then.
Buried in the Rice Lane Jewish Cemetery, Walton. You ever been there to visit him?
No.
No.
Didn't know he was there. I know where Rice Lane is.
Appears in the 1901 census, age 24, Alexander Mendelssohn. Traveller for hardware. Lodging in Whitechapel. In the 1939, registered as a commercial traveller living back in Liverpool, Crown Street. Also on this entry is your grandmother, Mary Tropp. Molly Mendelssohn, mother. Celia Mendelssohn, your aunt.
Yes, Auntie Celia, yes.
Born 1917, 2 years younger than Molly. And Rose Mendelssohn, born 1920. Another aunt. And Max Mendelssohn, 1923. Is that an aunt as well? Max.
No, uncle. There was
says aunt here.
Well, maybe it is. I don't know. Max isn't a woman's name.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's why I was confused.
His uncle Monty was the last born. And I think that's what set Molly off, really, because I think her father transferred his affections and attention to Uncle Monty.
The son,
because he finally had a son.
Grandmother Mary Tropp. Mary's father, Joseph David Tropp, was born 1858 in Grodno, Belarus, as was Mary's mother, Sarah. Someone called David Tropp, born the same year, was in court for assault in Athlone. In 1889, and for stealing in Liverpool.
And that was That was Molly's mother's brother, presumably.
That was from Dr. Chris, who's an anthropologist.
Thank you, Dr. Historian. Chris. That's fascinating. Now you could do me dad. Well, if you don't mind. If it gives you pleasure. I mean, don't if you don't. Joseph Henry Sale.
Who, Dr. Chris or me?
Whoever, anybody. I'm getting all this free Ancestry.com stuff.
And then there's the one that I sent you from Colin.
The same, wasn't it? Well, it would be, wouldn't it, really?
But he does mention stuff about... So Tropp is your mum's side, is it?
Yes.
So David Tropp...
Apparently, yeah.
...was a naughty guy.
Yeah.
Do you mind us talking about this?
I don't fucking care, yeah.
Who's that, your granddad?
No, my great-granddad.
Great-granddad. Here comes the uncomfortable stuff. The guy was in newspapers a lot. Cruelty to horses. Assault. Setting an empty house on fire. And he actually made a website chronicling...
Not my dad, not my great grandfather didn't.
This is Colin. This is the one, the email that I passed on to you with that website. You had a look at that, didn't you?
Yes.
So, what are your thoughts, Lex, on all that?
It's fascinating, really. And my grandfather was caretaker of the synagogue in Crown Street. So that makes me an authority on anti-Semitism. It sort of brought out what Molly said, really, but made it a bit clearer. And I think I wasn't lying about, I think it's Vilnius in Lithuania, that's terrible, isn't it? I should know. That I was sort of vague about where my grandparents were from, really, because it became different places. Sometimes it was Russia, sometimes it was somewhere else. It was interesting.
Let me look this up for you. Grodus Gol.
I think that's in Belarus.
Oh, it keeps giving me this character from Paper Mario. Sir Grodus. Grodno Gol in Belarus. Grodno.
Yes.
There you go.
Well, it was, there are many places where they were terrible to Jews. In that part of the world at that time. But it's kind of, it's interesting, really.
If you want to read about this, listeners, you can go to merseysidebiographypages.weebly.com. And you can click on the menu and go to Alexi Sale. There's also Annie Garvey, Bob Dylan, Brian Jack, Elon Musk's Liverpool ancestors, Paul McCartney. So this guy's proper historian.
Yeah.
Does all these biographies and has done
a whole... Oh, you can do me dad now.
Yeah.
So I'm much vaguer about what where my dad came from. So, if you just mind, I'd be very grateful. I'm very grateful anyway.
Yeah, they have. No one chose to cover your dad. Oh, I guess the episode was called Molly, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Last week.
You've got the next one. Joe.
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 Joe Sale.
Joe Sale. Joseph Henry Sale.
Joseph Henry Sale. This is so. And he's like this. Merseyside Biographies, biographypages.weebly.com has got images of like screenshots of the census, like OS maps of the streets at the time, Crown Street Synagogue, a photograph. It's just fucking mind-blowing how much depth it goes into. So thank you, Colin. And thank you, Chris. And thank you, Philip.
Yes, thank you very, very much, all of you. I'm very grateful.
Wild. And we've got new Patreon members this week. Simon, Richard, James, John. Thank you, everybody.
Yes, God bless you. Thank you very much. Are we thinking about future movie club?
Are you, Alexi? Where does your heart
point me? I've been thinking about Mephisto, because Mephisto is a film by my old mate István Szabó, and it's about really that process by which performers become incorporated or allow themselves to be used by dictators or dark forces, really. So obviously it plays on the myth of Mephistopheles, the man who sells his soul to the devil. But it's also a tale of kind of content. It's a tale which is set in during the Second World War, during the Nazi era in Germany. And it is about, you see it so frequently, performers selling their souls to contemporary devils, either by falling in line or by saying nothing. I just think it might be an object lesson for our time, really. It's a long, long, long time since I saw it, but I'm just putting that out there, maybe Mephisto. A film. It's a classic last line, which is, ich bin ein Schauspieler. I'm just an actor.
Interesting.
Yeah, so film with subtitles, but might be an interesting. I'd say it's just something that's been playing on my mind, really. It's this idea of entertainers selling their souls. Well, they're not, obviously, politicians also selling, you know, David Lammy and so on, selling their souls to the devil. But particularly entertainers as well. That you, I think you're starting to see that. I don't know. You will start to see that. Already starting to see that in the States.
Yeah. People who openly hated Trump are now like just fully on board.
Yeah.
This film, Mephisto, is from 1981.
Yes.
It's directed by István Szabó.
Mm-hmm.
Story by Klaus Mann.
From another by Klaus Mann.
It's Hungarian.
István Szabó is Hungarian, yeah.
Right. It's based on the novel of the same name. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this striking imagery of this fella with white face paint.
Is it, who plays the actor? Is it Klaus Kinski? I'm not sure.
No, it's Klaus Maria Brandauer.
Klaus Maria Brandauer, right.
Klaus Kinski was Werner Herzog's muse, wasn't he? He worked with him a lot.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
And this isn't the film that you dubbed someone for.
No, that was it was also an István Szabó film, but that was called Meeting Venus.
Meeting Venus. All right. Well, this is a front runner then for our next Alexis L. film club. Looks fascinating. Yeah, looks great. And it reminds me of certain decisions I've had to make because, you know, I told you, I turned down a really well-paying job dubbing a fucking Israeli drama on Netflix, and I told them to stuff it. And then just recently, I got sent an inquiry for a Russian drama. They needed an Arabic actor.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually pondering it because I need the work.
Mm.
And it involved going to Moscow for 2 weeks.
Wow. And well,
And I was just like, I was thinking, you know, artists aren't necessarily attached to the government's decisions and everyone deserves to watch telly, like, you know, whether there's lots of people in Russia who don't agree with their government, blah, blah. I was trying to justify it just so I could, like, entertain the concept of doing it. And then I remembered that how much Russia supported Assad and all that shit and what they did to Syria. And I was like, oh, yeah, fuck, it's not just about Ukraine. They've actually acted on the country my family are from and completely put me off it. I told them to stuff it.
Well, that's got rid of the last of the left-wingers, last of our extreme left-wing demographic that we were clinging on to.
Why?
I don't know. Well, I think there's a. I think some people, because you're in the kind of my enemy's enemy is my friend. People, I think there are some on the left who still kind of feel allegiance towards Russia. I think.
Right. Well, they teamed up with Iran and Assad and killed a million Syrians. Over a million Syrians.
Yes.
What kind of friend is that?
I know. Well, I don't know. Please put if you have a different viewpoint to Talal, please feel free to.
Please. Let's have the conversation, man.
It's not
respectful. Don't be abusive and don't call names, but fucking have the conversation. I'm not averse to debate.
Yeah.
Interesting episode, this one.
Yeah, I hope so.
No, I mean, because I'm not sure if it's any good or not. Let's see.
Well, yeah, I suppose with this, you know, this level of, you can see why, I don't know, you see it's harder than you think, isn't it? You know, presenting the morning show on Six Music or even Radio Wombat in Leeds or whatever, you know, you have to keep talking all the time. You see why. There's a bit about Radio 6 Music, and I can't remember which episode of Sandwich Bar it's in, but
you can see. Oh, the vegetarian lasagna.
Yeah.
I think that was the last episode.
Oh, was it? Okay.
I think so, but I could be wrong. Could be episode 3.
But you do see how, you know, it must be difficult, you know, keeping going all the time, just yakking and not sounding like an idiot, really. I'm being just grateful to hear the idiot opinions of the listeners, you know.
Yeah.
About them making a vegetable lasagna. Oh.
But I think there's a certain, you're just going through the motions if you're just doing radio presenting, I think is actually a bit, it's not that difficult.
Does your edit? I think this one, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't, again, it's a bit like me kind of a just reading. This is Steve Lamacq who does the afternoon show. He's given himself years ago, but given himself a nickname, Lamo, as it were. He refers to himself as Lamo or people, you know. Can you do that? Can you really do that? Is it possible in polite society to do that? If I call myself Salo, you know, people, I Salo, really making a vegetarian lasagna and listening to the dead rabbis. Going to see the dead rabbis tonight at the old emphysema factory in Burton on the Water. Could I do that? Call myself Salo? Allow people to call me Salo? I don't think it's ethical, really, is it?
I don't think ethics needs to come into it. Just, I think you can do it. It's whether it catches on, whether people, it's a matter of how much affection people have for you, really.
Yeah.
Is it ethical? I don't know. I always wanted people to call me Breezewell.
Breezewell?
Breezewell, yeah.
Why?
I've had a number of names. T-Bone, T-Breeze, T-Bone, T...
It's a very funny... Now, here's the thing.
T-Bone, T-Breezy, and then Breezewell. Go on.
Is Seinfeld still funny? Was it ever funny? But now what we know about Jerry Seinfeld, is it now make us sick? Because I remember loving that show. And, you know, the episode where George wants to be called T-Bone. You know, I think you can always say that all the best bits are Larry David. As far as I know, he disgraced himself in the last year and a half. But is Seinfeld still funny?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, he's like, obviously a vile human being, but
he is. Is Annie Hall still funny? Is Manhattan still a good film?
Well, yes, all that we've
covered this, but.
I is think Terminator it must 2 be. Rise of the Machines, is that still funny? Terminator 2. Transformers 2.
Oh.
That's still good.
It never was, Alexi.
Oh, don't say that.
I hate Transformers. I hate Hezbollah and I hate the Russians.
Oh, that's got rid of everybody.
Transformers 2.
But I said this before about how half the cast of Trainspotting are also in Black Hawk Down.
Yeah, you have, yeah.
I've said that before. But also, Shia LaBeouf is in both the first Transformers movie and Fury, isn't he?
And what's the significance of that?
There's no significance at all.
He's in many films, Alexi.
Yeah, I suppose he is, yes. That's a good point.
He's also in the Indiana Jones films. He's the young Indy, isn't he? Or something. Or his son.
Is he?
Yeah.
He's in one of them. Yeah. There's two good. There's an episode of, I think it's the fourth, about Sandwich Bar, about sequels and about whether you can, you know, keep going, really. And I did forget to mention, because I talk about, you know, Pitch Perfect 2 and Pitch Perfect 3 being weak. And forgot to mention, of course, Indiana Jones 2, which is 3, which is the best of the lot, really.
I was thinking about Indy this morning because I'm playing a really good Star Wars game on my PlayStation at the moment. And I came to realization that you are in the Star Wars universe because Indiana Jones and Star Wars are connected. I think there's an Easter egg in an Indy film.
Really?
Yeah, that he's like going through some caves or something and there's an inscription on the wall of like R2-D2 and C-3PO and like some hieroglyphs and stuff.
Right.
Hinting at the fact that the Indiana Jones universe is the Star Wars universe because Star Wars happened a long time ago in the galaxy far away, blah, blah, blah.
Right. And they both got Harrison Ford in, obviously.
It's all connected. Well,
they're also, I mean, they're also franchises where I mean, I'm not a fan of Star Wars at all, really, but some are much more diabolical than other ones.
Oh, so. Certainly, yeah.
Fucking Jar Jar Binks.
A long time since there's been a good Star Wars film, but you are in the Star Wars universe, technically. You're Hattie, was it? A Sultan of Hattie.
Hattie, yes.
Which is cool. And I like that. And yeah, Shia LaBeouf as well.
Yeah. He's more important than me.
Hey, I just played a game on the PlayStation called Thank Goodness You're Here. And I just want to recommend anyone out there who enjoys a bit of whimsy. It's not a computer game like you imagine. It's basically a playable cartoon, and it's made by these two Yorkshire lads. It's their second game. It's a fully independent game. It only costs a tenner, and it's the funniest, most creative thing. I think it took about 3 hours to complete, and the stories, there's like a tinge of sadness, an underlying current of sadness in it, but it's so overtly funny and creative and weird.
Okay, yeah.
And the voice acting is really good, and it's using very specific Yorkshire dialect. Like, it doesn't hold back on being Yorkshire, even though it's an internationally kind of renowned game. It's just so cool to see a computer game where everyone's speaking in this Yorkshire dialect. You know, I was even struggling to understand some of the words they're using, but you get it in context.
Right.
Super funny, really good English writing, celebrating English culture in the right way, you know, and it's, you know,
I'm happy to gorgeous, give mate. The Alexisel podcast stamp of approval to whatever it is that you've been playing.
Thank goodness you're here.
Yeah.
You can play on your PC or your Mac or your PlayStation or Xbox or whatever. Check it out. It's really good.
All right. That's enough of this.
Yep.
I'll let you try and go away and carve something useful out of this.
Wish me luck.
Bye-bye, everybody. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Alexisel podcast. This show is produced and edited by Talal Karkouti. Music by Tarboosh Records. Thanks to Audio Boom for hosting us. Please keep your emails coming in at alexiselpodcast@gmail.com. Goodbye.